Lord, say amen. I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is an honor to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't know about you, but it's been a long week, but I'm thankful to be here in the house of the Lord this morning to see what God is going to do in the midst of us. To all who have come this morning to be in fellowship with us, I am eternally humbled and grateful. As many of you all know, one of my greatest pride and joys is to be an aunt of 7 young ladies and 1 young man. And I am so blessed, and I'm not going to have them stand up this morning, but I have 5 of them here with me today. And I'm so thankful. I'm not going to even look over in your direction, but I just want you to know how much I love you, how much I am so proud of you for all that God is doing within each and every one of you. And I don't take it for granted this morning that you are here in this place of worship. For those of you all who are not with us, and we seem to have gotten a mix-up in our books this morning, but our scripture will actually be coming from the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning at verse number 14 and reading down through verse number 16. It's in the PowerPoint if you put it up on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And the Word of God reads, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a light stand and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see the good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." For the few minutes that we have, I would like you to turn to your neighbor, and as you say this to your neighbor, I want you to put some stank in your voice and turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, get to glowing." Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, "Neighbor, get to glowing." I was so blessed and so humbled over the last week to spend time in fellowship and in learning together in our Vacation Bible School. And as you look around the church, you can see our theme for this year. And even on the shirt that I have on, our theme this year was Glow for Jesus. And over the course of the 5 days that we were together, on day one, we talked about beautiful attitudes. Some of us have stank attitudes, amen? Some of us have our attitudes, and some of us have great attitudes. And so we talked about having a great attitude with our students, and we talked about the Beatitudes and all that I meant. And on day two, we talked about serving wherever you are, how important it is not necessarily to have people do something for you, but for you to be a servant to others, whether that's at school, whether that's at home, whether that's at work, whether it's passing somebody on the street. On day three, we talked about the power of every praise. And so although we might go through things in life, although life may not be the greatest, it's important that we really spend time praising God and that we really spend time pressing into the power of God through prayer and through meditation. On day number four, we talked about the eternal light, and so that Jesus is the light of the world, and the fact that that light is within us, we can really get through any situation and circumstances. And we ended on Friday with our culminating program where our children sang, our volunteers were acknowledged, we acknowledge our students who were outstanding over the course of our 4 days together. And then in the Emigrove tradition, we ended it with the old-fashioned cookout. And so we spent time outside. We thank God that the rain dried up, amen, and that we were able to spend time outside in fellowship with those who came to Vacation Bible School as well as with our regular church members. And so as I was moving throughout the week and I really began to think about this whole concept, glowing for Jesus, one of the things that came across my mind was a poem written by Marianne Williamson. And I'm sure a lot of you all are familiar with this poem, and it's entitled Our Greatest Fear. And in the poem, she said, "Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate, but that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, handsome, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. Let me read that again. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God within us. It is not in some, it is in everyone. As we let our light shine, we consciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our fears, our presence automatically liberates others. Let us pray. Spirit of loving God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart might be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, sit me down and you stand up, so that in the power of your word, lives might be changed and transformed. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we look at getting our glow on, I would submit to you that there are three things in the text that we need to know, and that these three verses really point out to us and really highlight for us about what it is that we need to understand in terms of getting our glow on. And the first thing that we need to understand is that you are a light. Touch yourself and say, I'm a light. Oftentimes in life, if we be honest with ourselves, Minister Newman, one of the things that situation and circumstances often does to us is it diminishes our perception about who we are as individuals. The more that people talk about us, the more likely we are to believe what it is that they say. The more likely that somebody is to tell me that I'm dumb or I'm stupid or I can't process or I can't achieve whatever it is I want to achieve, I'm more than likely going to internalize that and take that into my daily considerations. I'm going to allow that to dictate what it is that I do and what I don't do in life. And what this week of vacation Bible school really helped to impress upon me and hopefully upon those who were in attendance was, no matter what your situation or circumstances, you are still a light. Now you may say, how do I know that I'm a light, Reverend Holt? Well, what does a light mean? What does that look like in practical circumstances? And as I woke up this morning, one of the things that became apparent to me is we may be different types of light. And so I want to give you some examples of different types of light and how they function in different situations and circumstances. And so the first type of light I want to talk about is a candle. Now, if you've ever been in a house where there's no power, or if you've ever been in a house where it's completely dark and you light a candle, it automatically lights up the room. No matter how big the room is, no matter how much stuff is in the room, if you focus your eyes on where the light is coming from, you will always be able to see where the candle is burning. And no matter what's going on, the candle burns consistently, whether it's 5 minutes later, 1 hour later, 2 hours later, 3 hours later. The light of a candle is always consistent and it's going to remain steady no matter what's going on around it. Now, for some of us, we're a light of a candle. No matter what's going on in life, no matter who's talking about us, no matter what situation or circumstance may be happening in our lives, it may be happening in our jobs, it may be happening in our minds, we are consistently shining the light of Christ in our life. Now, I will tell you, that's a process. Not everybody can get there. Some days my light shines real bright. Other days my light may not even be on, depending on what it is I'm going through. But just because we go through situations and circumstances does not mean that the quality and the quantity of our light has to change. Y'all quiet in here this morning. The second type of light I want to talk about is a light bulb. Now, depending on where you are and what you're doing, there may be one light bulb, there may be more than one light bulb, and oftentimes, and the analogy that I want to use for a light bulb is, sometimes, unlike a candle often burns by itself. It has to be the light for everybody else, but oftentimes, and especially if you get lights to have dimmers on it, sometimes the light has to shine bright, and sometimes the light has to be dimmed depending on what's going on in the situation. There's some situation and circumstances that you'll find yourself in where you don't have to be the brightest light in the room. There's some situation and circumstances, and I'll use a choir as an example, it's one voice, one sound. Everybody has to blend in together. It's not about the altos outshining the tenors or the tenors outshining the basses or the basses outshining the soprano. It's one voice and one sound. And oftentimes, when it comes to being a light bulb in situations, we don't have to be the one that's seen. You don't have to be the one who's always acknowledged. You don't have to be the one who always stands out from the crowd, because you recognize that your light is as valuable as anybody else's light. I don't have to be seen. I don't have to be the loud one. I don't have to be the class clown. I don't have to be the work clown. I don't have to be the work gossip, because I recognize that God has created me to be the light that he wants me to be. But regardless, I'm still a light. Whether I have the light of a candle, or whether I have the light of a light bulb, I'm still a light. And the last light source I want to talk about is a glow stick. And this is particularly, I had a funny experience on Friday night. I had asked Kia, I said, Kia, can I have a glow stick? And she gave me a couple glow sticks, and the particular glow stick that I got, I began to break it, and it really didn't begin to shine. And in that moment, what I recognized is that in looking at this glow stick, you don't know how bright it's going to shine, whether it's going to be dim, whether it's going to shine bright. But when you break it and when it's twisted, that's when chemical reactions start to happen that cause it to glow. And see, for some of us, it's not until God bends us and breaks us and takes us through situations and circumstances that we're actually able to glow as he wants us to. Now, I'll tell you, on Friday night when I broke the stick, it didn't start glowing. And I was like, well, is something wrong with it? Is this a defective one? Like, what's going on? And so as I was walking around the church, I began to shake it up. As I was walking and as I was doing various tasks, I just began to shake it up. And I went on about the day, didn't think about it, put the glow stick in my car, and I had to come out several hours later in order to get something that I had forgotten. And when I approached the car, my mind immediately went into panic because I saw a light. And I was like, oh, my God, have I left a light on in the car? You know, is my battery going to be dead? You know, am I going to have to call AAA to come tow me? And what I recognized and realized when I walked up to the car was that it was a glow stick. That glow stick that I broke here at the church was still shining bright in the midst of darkness several hours later. And see, for some of us who are going through heartache and for some of us who are going through difficult times, God is like, I'm trying to break you. I'm trying to shake some things up in your life so that when you move forward and you manifest the glory that God has within you, you recognize that it's not about you. It's not about you. Never has been, never will be. The heartache you're going through, it's not about you. The pain you're going through, it's not about you. God wants you to be a light so that he can manifest the glory in your life, so that other people around you, so that people in your house, people at your job, people who you cross in the street will be able to say, what's different about you? Why are you shining in the midst of darkness? Why are you smiling when all your bills are piling up month after month after month after month? Why are you still able to smile? And what you say to them is, I have a light. And because I have a light, and because I know where my light source comes from, I'm able to lean and depend on the light source. And so for those of you all who have not recognized it yet, let me tell you that you are a light. It's not by happenstance that you're here this morning. It's not by coincidence that God allowed you to come by this way so that I could tell you and I could affirm for you that God has a light within you that he wants to use to bring glory to his kingdom. What you're going through at work, what you're going through in your mind, those thoughts that are trying to keep you even now from listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth, God wants you to know that you are a light. The second thing we need to understand is not only are you a light, but your light has a place. Somebody say place. Now it says in verse number 15, it says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it under a bushel basket. No one after lighting a lamp puts it under a bushel basket. Now what sense would that make? If I'm at home in the darkness, and I light a candle and I go and put it in the drawer. What sense does that make? If I'm outside in the darkness and my car has broke down and I need to put on a light so that somebody can know that I'm there, but then I just sit there in the darkness, what sense does that make? But unfortunately, oftentimes in our spiritual life especially, we end up putting our light in the closet. I end up leaving my light in the car when I go to work. I end up putting my light in my locker when I go to school. I end up leaving my light in my bedroom when I end up going out to the mall. But in us understanding that our light has a place, it goes on to say in that verse, but it's on the lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In us being a light source, we're giving light to other people. That's why I keep saying it's not about you. It's never been about you, and it will unfortunately never be about you. But the light that God has placed within you, the glow that God is trying to put within you, is so that others around you's lives might be changed and transformed. Oh, that we would get to a place, Brother Rob, where we had a church that put their light on the light stand, on a nightstand, and not in a closet. What would it look like in our Christian life if we decided, God, I'm going to stop trying to put you in a box. God, I'm going to stop trying to put you on my time frame. God, I'm going to stop trying to put you in my minimal understanding. And God, I'm going to allow you to show your light in my life. What would that look like for you? How different your attitude would be. How much less you would stop talking about folks and start praying for folks. How much less you will stop raising hell in other people's lives and begin to get your life together. Oh, how different the body of Christ would be if we understood that we need to shine our light and not try to put out other people's light. What does that look like for me as a Christian when I'm sitting here trying to blow out your light? Because your light is impeding upon my light. What does it look like when I'm trying to tear you down so that I can lift myself up? That is completely contrary to what the Word of God is saying. God is saying our lights have to shine together. It's not about individuals, but it's about us collectively moving forward to be all that God has called and created us to be. You may not like the person sitting next to you, but that's all right. You may have had an argument with the person sitting next to you, but that's all right. Because at the end of the day, God is still wanting to use the light that both of you have in order to bring somebody to Christ. The first thing we have to do is understand that we are a light. The second thing that we have to understand is that our light has a place. And lastly, we have to understand that our light has a purpose. Somebody say purpose. In verse number 16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give the Father glory to your Father in heaven. Now, nowhere in that did it say, let my light so shine so that Reverend Hope can get the glory and that glory may be sent to me. Nowhere in there does it say, let your light shine so that others may pat you on the back or blow up your head and blow up your ego. Oh, girl, you sang good today. Oh, girl, you preach good today. Oh, girl, you look good today. No. The purpose of you shining your light has nothing to do about you. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. Ego stroking needs to go out the window. You doing things because you want folks to see you. Who's going to see me? Are you going to see me? Are you going to comment on my Facebook page after church that I did a good job? Are you going to go tell somebody about me after church? Why not? I'm up here preaching good. You going to call Pastor Warner and write a message on Facebook telling him I did a good job? I mean, I work hard for this. What type of leader would I be if I had that mentality? Go tell somebody. Look what I did. I preached that thing. I sang that song. I wrote that sermon. I composed that song. How dare we take the glory that God has and the gifts that God has put within us and think that it has anything to do with us? That's how people get sat down. Don't play with God. I don't know who that's for. You best stop playing with God. God will let you play for a little while, but he does know how to sit you down. If you're in that position because you want recognition, then you may need to change your position. If you're in that job because you think somebody's going to blow you up and blow your ego up, you may need to change jobs. If you're in this church because you think people are looking at what you got or what you drive or what type of house you live in, you may be in the wrong church. Because at the end of the day, the purpose is not about me. It's not about mine. It's not about my education. It's not about what type of job I have. It's not who my parents are. It's not about any of that. It's about God getting the glory in my life. Oh, what the church would be if 10% of us, just 10%, 10% of us got the revelation that we are being used for God's glory. How your attitude would change if you understood that the test and the trial that you are going through is so that God might get the glory out of your life. And if we be honest with ourselves, would we really need God if we weren't going through some stuff? Come on, be honest. Would you still pray to God if all your bills were paid? The majority of us would probably say no. Would you pray to God if your body wasn't riddled with disease? Probably not. Would you come to church and be as faithful if God did not allow you to go through some things? Probably not. But in the midst of all of that, we can still glow for God. In the midst of all of that, sometimes God has to squeeze us. It's almost like lemonade. I'm not a lemonade fan, never have been, and probably never will be. But I appreciate the process of making lemonade. Because unless that lemon is able to be squished and crushed and pressure, lemonade won't be able to be made. You lemonade drinkers, you understand what I'm saying? Next time you're drinking that glass, you think about that. Think about that sacrifice that the lemon made so that you can have something to drink. Next time you put sugar in your lemonade, think about the sacrifice that that lemon had to make so that when you sit down at your family cookout or when you go out to Red Lobster tonight or go out to wherever you're going tonight, that you can drink that. And just as the lemonade gave itself up, we also have to give ourselves up to God. God, I don't know what you're going to use me for, but here I am. God, I don't know who you're going to use me to bless, but God, here I am. God, I don't know who I need to speak life to, but God, here I am. If nobody ever sees me, God, I'm all right. If nobody ever tells me I did a good job, God, I'm all right. God, if nobody else ever asks me to come and preach or sing or teach or do anything else, God, I'm all right. Because at the end of the day, I know that my light is shining for your glory. And so I don't know what type of light source you are, whether you're a candle, whether you're a light bulb. Shout out to my glow sticks. But at the end of the day, God wants us to get to glowing for him. Life is too short. People are going out of here quicker than you would have imagined. The world is going crazy. People are killing every other day. People just killing folks they don't even know. No association, just killing them. People luring folks to their house, just killing them. I'm just like, God, what is going on in this world? But even in the midst of that, I can still glow for God. Even in the midst of that, God still wants me to tell you that he wants to get the glory out of your life. And so the question really becomes, are you willing? We know you're able. If you're living and breathing, you're able. But are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, and direct you? Are you willing to let the light of Christ so shine within you that light, men, women, boys, and girls in your life might be changed? Are you willing to stop complaining and stop looking around at what everybody else is doing and stop comparing yourself to everybody else and focus on what God has for you? Don't look at me. My journey is not your journey. Don't look at Pastor Warner. His journey is not your journey. Don't look at either one of the ministers, Newman. Don't do that, because what God has for you is for you. And I'm going to tell you truthfully, you wouldn't want my job if you really knew what came with it. You wouldn't want Pastor Warner's job if you knew what really came with it. And so in those moments where you look at him, in those moments where you judge him, in those moments where you pass thoughts that might not be pleasant about him, I challenge you that you pray for him instead. I challenge you that you go before God and call out his name in those areas where you may feel like he is not adequate. God, strengthen him. God, strengthen the leadership of this church so that as we strive to be all that God has called and created us to be, that we will be in line with what God has for us. Because whether you believe it or not, God does have a corrective measure. Don't judge us. Pray for us. Don't judge what God is doing with us. Pray for us. Don't go out there and gossip in the streets about what God is doing for us. Pray for us. Don't question what it is that God is doing within us. Begin to pray, and as God's wisdom begins to pray and as God's keeping, so that as we move to be all that God has called and created us to be, that we will be in line with what he has for us to do. And so as you stand to your feet this morning, the charge is very simple. You know now that you're a light. You know that your light has a place. And you know your light has a purpose. And so after you recognize and realize all those things, you can truly get to glowing as God had designed you to glow. Every bad thing you've gone through, every good thing you've gone through, every indifferent experience that you've ever had, God is using to make you all he's called and created you to be. All he asks is that you be open to him, to the move that he is trying to do in your life.